Hi, guys. Today, we're talking about a ridiculous-ass movie that I absolutely love.
I liked the movie. It was good. It's a pretty influential movie because there's a lot of this movie in this movie. I was watching it. I'm going, what the fuck? And a lot of stuff that happens and a lot of things that are said and the character, a lot of the characters in these movies inspired other stuff that you would know. Like Dieter from Sprockets on Saturday Night Live, you know, there's a lot of that in there. Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah, I feel like...
Animator.
I mean, in particular, the one set, you know, the laboratory set, I think... I mean, it could just be that Rocky Horror Picture Show was homaging, you know, kind of Hammer films and stuff like that, which this is also homaging. But I kind of feel like the set in this... is almost exactly like the one in Rocky Horror Picture Show. So I think that was deliberate, like down to the, you know, statues and everything.
This is a Frankenstein movie produced by Andy Warhol. It's fucking bizarre. It's good, though. It's good. It's fucking... Once you get over the fact that you're not really supposed to take this seriously, this shit is over the fucking top.
Big time.
All right. And once you realize that the tone and everything, that this is just weird and European as possible. You know, it's just... weird Euro trash movie. And it's porn movie, basically. It's X-rated.
Yeah, it actually did come out as X-rated. Not just because of a gore, because it's very gory also. But
like
Caligula. There's a lot of... there's also a lot of smut. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's all, like, ironic and over the top. It's not serious. It's just like, what?
Yeah, this is... I kind of feel like... how you feel about this movie... really has to do with how you're approaching it. Because this is definitely a movie that I'm pretty sure was intended to be a spoof or a black comedy.
Yeah, it's a comedy.
And if you don't really get that, because honestly, I think even the idea for this movie, which is called Flesh for Frankenstein, by the way, although I think in the U.S. and in some other territories, it's sometimes called Andy Warhol's Frankenstein. Yeah. Or Frankenstein 3D, because it was initially shot in 3D, which I'll get into that in a minute. I haven't seen the 3D version.
I
thought that because there's some scenes in there where people's, like, guts fall out and it comes out, like, right at you. And I was just kind of like, I'm imagining this was probably supposed to be 3D originally, and indeed it was. So this movie was actually, it's called Andy Warhol's, but Andy Warhol didn't have a lot to do with it. He kind of just, like, put up some money, and he's like, I'll put my name on it just for marketing purposes, obviously, because he's super famous. But this was written and directed by his longtime collaborator, Paul Morrissey, who also did Blood for Dracula pretty much the same time, or right after they shot this one. Shudder just added both of them, because Vinegar Syndrome has just put out, like, a really nice... two disc set of this. They might have done Blood for Dracula too, but I'm not really sure. But I've seen this one and I've seen like a couple reviews of it, and it has like the regular cut and it has the 3D when it comes with the glasses and everything. So you can watch it 3D if you want to buy the Vinegar Syndrome one. So apparently the idea for this, at least according to Wikipedia, actually came from Roman Polanski, who had also done like a parody sort of film of the Fearless Vampire Killers. And he's like, they want to do a 3D Frankenstein. So he's like, we should get Paul Morrissey to do it because that would be hilarious. I think absurd was the word that he used. So I think from the jump, this was supposed to be a parody, kind of.
It is very absurdist.
It is very camp.
Almost Salvador Dali level at some
time. It is like, and it's... designed to be like deliberately shocking and deliberately provocative. It's just kind of like they're like, we're gonna put like whatever offensive shit that we can possibly put. I mean, it's not probably like offensive nowadays because this was the 70s, but you can tell that they were definitely trying to go out and like shock people with this film. So the story behind it is you got the wonderful, wonderful Udo Kier.
He shines in this movie.
This is a very early role for him. Yeah. I don't think this was his first movie, but it might have been like among his first couple.
If you don't know that name, if you see this guy, you'll recognize him. He's in a bunch of horror movies.
Okay. He was in over 200 movies.
Yeah, he's just this creepy damn German dude. And he was in this movie, in this character in this movie, he's definitely the inspiration for Dieter from Sprockets. And he fucking says a lot of the exact... You're spoiling him! You know, he's this uptight... kind of like a German Herbert West. You know, if you ever watch Reanimator, he's like that. He's a bunch of damn... conflicted dichotomies. He's real uptight, but then he's fucking perverse at the same time. And just like Gator from Sprocket. It's insane. It's hilarious. Once you get over the, once you understand the tone of this movie, you just kind of don't fight it. Just roll with it.
Yeah, because it's like
some fucking weird, says some weird shit. Everybody in the movie, all the characters seem to have inspired other characters. Like his wife slash sister.
Yeah, he's married to his sister.
Married to his sister,
and they have two kids.
She's definitely kind of like the inspiration for the Madeline Kahn role in Young Frankenstein. She dresses like
yeah, because she does actually the outfits that she has.
Mega slut.
Yeah.
Like this German mega slut. And it's a great character, though. It's fucking over the top.
I don't think she's German. I think she's from, I think she's Transylvanian, actually. Transylvanian? Or something.
In real life, or where she's
in real life,
okay.
I think.
I thought she was supposed to be German in the movie.
See, it's
well,
kind
yeah, because he's German.
Yeah.
And so it's his sister.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's supposed
this
to
was,
be
yeah, that would be weird if your if your brother
was from
and sister.
Another, your from another country, another race. Yeah.
Yeah, so so Udo Kier, a very early role for him, and he just goes like, you know, it's not even over the top. He goes over the top and over the wall and across the universe.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and
it's absurd.
Fantastic. I love it. I mean, I love the ridiculous shit that he says in here.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things is just like a really brief thing where he's like, I am fulfilled, but not yet.
But yeah. I'm fulfilled, but not yet. And just the way the fucking script is written and the way the dialogue is written and the way it's delivered, it just doesn't. It doesn't make any fucking sense, but it's hilarious. It's I think it's definitely intentional. You know, it's supposed to be just fucking bizarre. I can see that. I think this character, this version of Dr. Frankenstein, was the inspiration for Herbert West too. A lot of stuff.
Maybe
Jeffrey Combs is doing.
Yeah,
seems to kind of come from this character. It's a classic. I fucking give it two thumbs up, man.
I mean, I can't believe you had never seen it. I had seen this before, like several years ago, but I'd been meaning to like rewatch it, and I had forgotten how fun it was. Now, I'm not gonna lie, there are some parts of it that kind of drag.
Yeah.
Like, there are some scenes that, you know, of like at the beginning with the Baroness and the kids, like, going through the countryside, like, in their, you know, in their coach or whatever. And that seems to go on, like, way too long. But honestly, the ridiculous shit that happens in it is so ridiculous that it just, like, makes up for it.
Yeah, and the tone here is that you're not watching a zany comedy.
No.
It's trolling you. You're taking it serious. And then it just does.
But that's
shit.
What like, makes it funnier, you know, because what? Everybody is completely straight faced.
Yeah,
they're not winking at you. They're playing everything completely straight.
Yeah, over the top, straight,
and it's hysterically, serious. Hysterically funny.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously everyone's not going to find it funny. It depends on what your sense of humor is.
Man,
but you really do have to go into this like thinking that.
Yeah, and Frankenstein in this one, he's trying to make a couple, and he's calling them his perfect Serbians.
Yeah. Why Serbians? Who knows?
Yeah,
because well, his explanation is they're supposed to be like the in direct line from the ancient Greeks, who are supposed to be like the pinnacle of human evolution.
Yeah, but the thing is, his perfect Serbians don't look Serbian.
They don't
at all.
Look,
they look Scandinavian. Okay?
They do.
So why don't you just start with some damn Swedes? Okay, which that's part of the reason why they're trolling you. Okay, and then they're supposed to reproduce, and the male one has to have a fucking large fucking voracious sexual appetite, and the woman is supposed to be like sexy as possible but flat as possible with the smallest ass as possible. The dude, the alpha male that he's trying to make, he mistakes a gay guy for an alpha male. So they put the gay head on the fucking thing. You know what I mean?
He's either gay or asexual, because he's talking about going into a monastery. But I think there was some implication in there that he was like maybe latent homosexual, which is why he wasn't interested.
Look, it's a gay Frankenstein.
It's pretty much.
Not interested in women.
They don't really go.
He was looking at the dude's ass.
Yeah.
He's gay.
They didn't really go too much, because I thought it was going to go more in that direction, but it doesn't really. They kind of play more around him being like more asexual.
So Frankenstein's ideas about heterosexuality are all fucked up. He thinks gay men are heterosexual. He thinks fucking flat women that have no sexual attributes or sexual desires are the sexiest. So everything's all fucking backwards. And then they don't look anything like Serbian. So what the fuck's he called? And the thing is they're doing this shit straight. Like yeah. He really means it. You know what I mean? But it doesn't make any fucking sense. And then he has sex with the woman that he made, but not really. He just penetrates or he goes in and then reaches into a... breaks her wounds open where he assembled her and then jerks himself off with her, I guess.
Like squishes himself around with her like that, with, yeah. His, with her right.
The other guy's back there with a pin doing this and just, he was watching it and just... fucking bizarre.
This it's a very perverse, perverse movie. Yeah, like yeah. I said, you can tell where... Yeah. And honestly,
he's
there's...
married to his sister, too. Yeah. So this... And that's something that they don't ever really address.
It's brought up, but it's kind of... Yeah. Well, there's so much, like, other depraved shit going on in there. Yeah. It's almost kind of like an afterthought, which is very, very funny.
And he's had children where they're... And the children don't even look like they're related, which that was funny. One of them's a ginger, and the other one looks like a Greek or something. They don't even look related.
That little girl that's in that, yeah. She was in a shit ton of movies when yeah. She was a kid. I think her name is Nicoletta yeah. Elmy. Yeah. She was in... I recognized her immediately because I was like, oh, my God, she was in that Giallo movie, Who Saw yeah. Her Die, which I just yeah. watched, like, a couple weeks ago. She was also in Bay of Blood. Yeah. She was in Deep Red, the Dario Argento movie. Yeah. And she was in, later in the 80s, she was in Demons, the yeah. Lamberto Bava movie. Although I think she retired or whatever, like in the 80s.
There's lots of nudity in it. There's a lot of sexual innuendos. This sex is happening. It doesn't quite show it, but they let you know that it does happen. They hint at people doing 69s through the shots. They hint at people blowing each other. But they never actually show it. It's just a fucking...
There is some male full frontal nudity, though.
Yeah, there's some of that, and a lot of female nudity. But everything is kind of unsexy. That's another weird thing. A lot of nudity, but it's not sexy. It's just... everything defeats itself in the movie. No matter what happens, there's an opposite that's happening at the same time in the story that negates it.
I kind of read this, and I'm not the only person to read it like this, but it's almost kind of like not only a parody of Frankenstein films and Hammer films, because it definitely is trying yeah. to be a Hammer film. And honestly...
an anti-Hammer film.
Yeah, it actually looks really nice. Yeah. It's the same cinematographer. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's the same cinematographer who worked with Dario Argento sometimes.
Yeah, it's
this was
made.
Like shot in Italy, so it was largely Italian crew.
Yeah, it's well made.
Yeah, so I'm not sure about the exteriors, but for sure, like, the interiors were shot in Rome.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like, other than it being, like, a kind of a parody of that, it's also kind of, like, making fun of the degenerate aristocracy.
Yeah.
Which I kind of feel like, you know what I mean? Because you got Baron Frankenstein and the Baroness, who, like I said, are fucking, but they're brother and sister.
Yeah.
Well, they don't fuck anymore. But so
she's in a loveless relationship.
So
now.
She's like going yeah. and fucking all the farmhands and stuff, while he's like fucking his experiments, sort
right.
of. Like,
but he knows about it. He sees it and doesn't confront it. He goes, "I've never interfered with your dirty sex life."
And he says it pretty much really, like that.
Your yeah. dirty sex life.
I mean, he can speak English, yeah. but I mean, this is pretty. He, I think he traveled to England in his youth, like to yeah. learn English, and so his. And like I said, this was one of his very early films. So his accent in this is very, very, very thick.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So he's a very... I know. And it's like, yeah. I think that's like the best thing about it. I mean, this has lines, like probably the most famous line in this is, "To know death, Otto, you have to fuck life yeah. in the gallbladder."
Yeah.
In the gallbladder.
Yeah. And the other guy goes, but they must stop. She will hurt him and then spoil him. This fucking funny shit.
He's just, I mean, like I said, I love Udo Kier. He's been in, like, so many movies. And I kind of feel like, if seeing this, you're like, yeah, that dude's going to be a fucking legend. Because, like yeah. I said, he chews up the scene, or he just yeah. chews all of it.
Yeah, and what's funny is that I'm looking at it, and he looked instantly familiar. And then once, I went back and looked at his, how many movies, and then I recognized who exactly he is.
Yeah.
He's young as hell in this. Very handsome guy.
He's fucking a very good looking dude.
And
I always
he's just
thought.
Fucking, he's slamming this character. He's fucking doing, and it took me a while to understand the tone of the movie. Okay.
This yeah, because at first Tom's like, "Wow, the acting of this is really atrocious."
It's supposed to be.
And I was like, "Dude, just."
Everything wrong with this, or this is a well-made movie. Every mistake in this is intentional.
I kind of feel like it might be. Although I will say that I think the original idea that Paul Morrissey wanted to do was he wanted it to be improvised.
Yeah.
But because you had a lot of actors like Udo Kier that didn't really do that or weren't really good at improvisation, so he's like, okay, well, what we'll do is we'll just go day by day. So I'll kind of like write out whatever your dialogue is supposed to be on that day, and then you learn that, you know, day to day. So it is kind of like a little bit ramshackle, I guess, yeah, in that way. And you do have, so we haven't, like, said what even happens in this story. But I was gonna
Maybe we shouldn't spoil it. It's free on fucking...
Well, it's on Shudder.
On Shudder, yeah.
And like I said, if you really want the nice shit and you want to watch it in 3D the way it was originally supposed to be,
yeah,
then you can buy the Vinegar Syndrome 2-disc set because they have the 3D version too.
Make no mistake, this is a masterpiece. It is great movie.
It's goofy as shit, and I kind of love
it. All this improv that they were doing and just making it up as they were going along... That's Italian. That's in the Italian genre. To actually have a fucking script would kind of be to not make the kind of movie they're supposed to be making. That's what it's homaging.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to do it that way. And then they homage a lot of stuff. And I don't think the average, like, normie pedestrian would get this. But people that watch a lot of movies know exactly what's happening in this.
And then
you see how many movies were influenced by this. A lot of stuff rips this movie off.
Well, like I said, this was a massive, like, cult hit.
Yeah.
You know, and it honestly, it kind of like, you know, it sort of premiered. It didn't really play like at a lot of theaters and stuff, but particularly in the early 70s, where you had all these weird ass fucking movies going around, this one really got a lot of, like, buzz.
Well, Andy Warhol was associated with it, so all your creative types had to see this movie and make a judgment on it, and it influenced a lot of them. It is a great movie. It's a great movie. It's not... What you think... No, it is. It is what you think it is. It's supposed to be an awesome, shitty movie. Awesome, shitty movie. That's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And it knows what it is. But it's not... But it's playing it straight.
Yeah.
It's not fucking... It's taking itself real seriously, but that's the fun part of it.
To me, like, bad movies that take themselves seriously, whether intentionally or unintentionally, are way funnier than ones that are trying to be funny or self-aware. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I will say, too, that the probably the other most famous guy that's in this, Joe D'Alessandro, who, again, you know, discovered, I guess, by Andy Warhol, and he's in this as Nicholas, the Randy farmhand. And he was actually, it's hilarious because in this movie, pretty much everyone's like Europeans, right? And it's just like, it's so European that it hurts. But Joe D'Alessandro is from Brooklyn. And when he talks, like, as soon as he opens his mouth, it's very, very clear that he's from Brooklyn. So it's, like, really, really funny to have this kind of, like, modern Brooklyn-sounding dude, like, around with all these, like, Germans and Serbians or whatever.
It's another
It's just so, so funny. He's like, let's be charitable. Joe D'Alessandro is not a great actor, okay?
I mean, it's all on purpose.
He's kind of like a vacuous void of a person.
Yeah, they get shots of people just staring blankly.
Yeah. And it's just kind of like, you know, sometimes, like, you have, there's like a scene of him, like, Udo Kier is just kind of like, what are you doing in this part of the castle or whatever? And he's just like hamming it up like usual. Yeah. And then Joe D'Alessandro is just like, it's just like so funny. Yeah. But Joe D'Alessandro actually, pretty influential in, you know, gay cinema. And he's actually kind of like a big gay icon. And he was, you know, the Rolling Stones album Sticky Fingers with the crotch on the front?
Yeah.
That's his crotch.
Okay.
Also, the first Smiths album. Okay. That picture that's on the first Smiths album, that's him too.
Okay.
That's from the movie Flesh. So he's himself, he's bisexual, but he's kind of like a big, like, a gay icon. He was in a lot of... I don't know if it was, like, gay porn, but he was in, like, a lot of, you know, gay films that were, like, really ahead of their time, like, in the early 70s. And it's interesting, if you look at his Wikipedia page, I think he's still alive, but if you look at his Wikipedia page, he actually started out as, like, a fucking juvenile delinquent. You know what I mean? He's like, his mom was in prison for, like, stealing cars, and then he kind of went the same way because he was in foster homes, and he was, like, doing a crime one time, and the cop, like, shot him in the leg and shit like that. So, but then he kind of went on to become this, you know, this icon, like, in underground films, particularly with his association with Andy Warhol. So it's just
having
funny.
A checkered past can help you in certain circles.
Yeah, well, particularly in that one, because they loved, like, lowlifes. Yeah. You know what I mean? That was kind of, like, their big thing. And I think
he had street cred.
Yeah, exactly. he had done the shit, you know. But so he's in this, and it's funny because, so he was the guy, see what happens is, because you were saying earlier about how, you know, Frankenstein, Udo Kier's character, is trying to make, he's trying to make the perfect woman and the perfect man, and he wants them to mate and have children that will be under his, it's very like Nazi eugenics kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
And he wants them to have children that will be like loyal to him and him only.
Make his own, he's making his own race.
Is what he's, yeah, is what he's doing. So he wants like perfect people. Now, notably, he does have his own two children.
Perfect Serbians.
But I guess the implication, they don't say this outright, but the implication being that because he had children with his sister,
they're
like inferior.
Yeah.
Even though the kids, they don't really talk much.
Yeah.
But, they kind of like, well, they imply that the kids are kind of like taking after the parents.
Yeah, later on.
Later on. Because they do, like, and they are, like, hiding behind paintings, like, watching their mom fuck the farmhand, and it's, like, all this other kind of stuff.
Yeah, movie's degenerate, man. But it's supposed
it
to
is.
Be.
It is. So, like I said, it's real gory. There's, like, tons of, like, eviscerations. Now, the special effects are not, you know, great. They're kind of, like, cartoonish, but it kind of, like, especially, like, the beheading scene, because what ends up happening, because you were saying before that he's trying to make this couple. So the man, the woman's done. He already got her done.
Yeah.
And like I said, he fucks the wound or whatever, and it's like really weird. And then it's like, I love that his fucking,
and he does it in front of this.
And Otto, his assistant, is just like, he's in there. Yeah. You filthy thing.
Calls him filthy for watching him.
For watching him fuck a dead body that he'd sewn together. And he's like, make it out with her. It's a fucked up movie, you guys. It's really fucked up.
It is funny. It's,
but it, yeah, it's ridiculous.
But it's played straight.
It's like, ridiculous.
It's funny. It is. Now, Otto's version of Frankenstein, I'm pretty sure Gene Wilder watched that when he made Young Frankenstein.
Udo Kier?
Yeah, there's a lot of shit Gene Wilder's doing in his tone. Some of it is kind of like Udo Kier's version, some of that over-the-top shit. Seems like, I think some of it came from that.
Although some of it might have been, too, because I think they were homaging, like, Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein from the 30s.
Yeah. they were homaging, I think, a lot of different Frankenstein.
Like Colin Clive, like, from, you know, played Frankenstein and that, and he was kind of pretty over-the-top, too.
But I could imagine Gene Wilder trying to do this character.
Yeah.
I can imagine it.
But yeah, so, but what ends up happening is that why the shit doesn't work out, like, when he's making the man, because he's sitting there going, well, he has the man, but the head that he wants, because his whole thing is, I need the head / brain of a man that is really, you know, has a strong, like, libido.
For a perfect Serbian nose.
That'll just, in a perfect Serbian nose, or nasum, as he says. So it'll just want to hump this female creature all the time, and they'll make all these babies.
Yeah.
So what ends up happening, though, is that there's a mix-up. Because they're like, well, they had one head, and he's like, that one's not working out. So they're going to go find another one. And so they decide, as you would, that they're going to go to the town brothel.
Yeah.
And due to a misunderstanding at the brothel, the one guy that they should have taken, the guy played by Joe D'Alessandro, who actually was a horn dog, you know, and was really into the ladies, they instead end up with his sexless, like, asexual best friend, Sasha, who's only at the whorehouse because his friend Nicholas is like, hey, if, you know, before you join the priesthood, you know, why don't we go to the brothel and you can see what you're missing out on so you can make an informed decision.
Yeah.
So they think that Sasha is the sex maniac, even though he's, you know, asexual / probably latently homosexual. So they,
he's gay.
Yeah. So, I mean, cause they do have like some scenes of him like longingly looking at Joe D'Alessandro's butt.
Yeah.
And
that's
stuff like
gay.
That,
that's gay. Which, they're taking him to the brothel to try to get him to be straight.
Yeah.
That's what's happening. Okay. Cause he's not interested in women. They're trying to get him to be straight. He wants to be a priest so he can hang out with the other guys.
Yeah.
At the convent or whatever, you know, he goes to the whorehouse and sits there and fucking, the girl's trying to put a move on him. There's no reaction. He doesn't even
like
it.
No.
And then she leans up against him and he just sits there and he's longingly looking at his buddy's ass while it's bouncing up and down on this other chick. He's wanting that. Jenny's trying to be, you know, she's trying to be forgiving. Oh, well, maybe he's just late. No, it's obvious.
No, I said it's one or the other.
It's obvious. He's gay. And they're trying to tell you he's gay. Well, a lizard gets out, and the hookers run from the lizard, and then he runs out with the women too. Okay,
to check and see if they're all right.
Okay, and Udo and his buddy watch it, and they go, "Oh, look, he is coming out, and look, two women at once. That's the man we need."
Basically, the line was, like, one man and two women?
Yeah, that's right.
He must be very powerful.
Yeah, he must be very powerful. He must be very powerful.
I love this movie.
Yeah, so they jump his ass and cut his head off. And
go, with his ridiculous big shears.
He has a perfect Serbian nasum. You know,
look at
his
it.
Nose and shit. So they got this dude's head that they think he's just this ultimate fucking alpha hetero, you know, fucking Superman. They're going to put it on there and he's going to just be running after women. No, they got the gay guy's head. Okay.
Shit,
gonna,
get the gay
be,
head.
Yeah, he's got the gay guy's head. He's not going to be interested in the female. So.
Yeah, he's got the woman. Kiss right. him. Yeah, kiss but, him. And then they keep looking at his dick.
Kiss him. Kiss
and nothing's
him.
Happening.
Yeah, kiss her.
Something's
her.
Wrong.
Yeah, he's not getting it up and shit. So that's, you know, that's what happened. Is it great though? Yeah, it's fucking great, man. They
so
they
then, meanwhile,
crazy shit.
So he makes this creature that obviously has Sasha's head on it. It's a different body. It was like taller than he was normally. But then also, Nicholas, the Randy dude who was friend of Sasha's, he like wakes up. Because he gets knocked out. He was, like, super drunk, like, from the brothel. He gets knocked out. His, you know, his friend gets his head cut off and taken. They just leave the headless body laying there. So he wakes up, and he's just kind of like, huh, well, look at that. You know, because it's Joe D'Alessandro. He's not, like, reacting all that much. So he kind of, like, just buries the body and is like, huh, I wonder what's going on there. But then he goes back to, because he works on the Frankenstein's farm. He's, like, a farmhand or whatever. And he goes there, and starts fucking the Baroness. Because she's just like, oh, this is a hot hunk of man, you know, and her husband's not fucking her anymore. So she's basically like, okay, well, I'm going to hire you as a manservant and also like my personal gigolo, pretty much. But the problem arises that obviously Nicholas, when he sees the creation, he's like, hey, that looks just like my friend Sasha's head. Yeah. Except that's not his body because that's way taller than he was. He's like, what the fuck happened? What's going on in here? So that's kind of what leads to... you know, him trying to figure out what the fuck is going on with this doctor, you know, cutting up all the bodies and everything. This movie is, like I said, it does have some slow parts. It's almost kind of shot, and I was like watching another review of this, and when they said this, I was kind of like, yeah, I see what you're saying. It's almost kind of shot like a play, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of, like, long shots with, like, a lot of action, but I kind of feel like there are some scenes, like I said, that go on too long. Like, there'll be, like, you know, everyone's walking into the lab or whatever, and they'll, like, follow their action, like, in real time as they're, like, coming in the lab. So some of that could have been trimmed. It's not a real long movie. I think it's only 90 minutes or 93 minutes, something like that. And so it does have, like, parts in it that kind of drag like that. But honestly, it's just so perverse and so over the top and just so... funny. Like, you have, like, all these people chewing scenery, and then you have, like, Joe D'Alessandro, like, acting like he's sleepwalking through the shit with his Brooklyn accent.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, and it's just...
just staring off at
the... it's
nowhere.
Delightful. And it's just, like, and there's just weird shit in there, like... yeah. Like, when Joe D'Alessandro and, his name's Nicholas, like, the character, and the Baroness are, like, in bed together, she's doing this weird... he's laying there naked, and she's doing this weird thing where she's, like, slurping on his armpit
yeah,
and his arm and stuff, and it's just... I'm just like, what? Why? And I think they foleyed in those sounds, too, so it sounds like...
yeah, yeah.
It's, like super gross.
Like, she was nursing his fucking
armpit. I don't know what that was about.
They're just trying to...
I think they were just trying to show, like I said, this sort
they're
of like
weird.
The aristocracy, and they're kind of like degenerate. They can't even have sex normally.
Yeah, yeah, that's
they just have to do like all this weird shit.
It's because Frankenstein was like that. He couldn't have any kind of normal sex or relationship.
Yeah, it had to be like, I have to like stick my dick in a wound, you know what I mean? Or play with people's spleens or whatever.
And that sex is dirty, and the sexiest of all women were the sexless women, basically.
Yeah.
You know,
it does kind of seem
genderless,
like
sexless women were the sexiest, which is just all these weird, fucking, kind of twisted concepts of that don't work. Nothing he did worked.
Can we also talk about how awesome his fucking death scene is? Holy shit.
Yeah. He dies sitting up, and it just gonna,
and he
it
just
takes
keeps,
like a forever to die.
And he just, keeps, like, he has this big long speech.
Yeah, it does a speech. And fucking, yeah. And here's
it's
the thing
so awesome.
The shit's played straight.
It is.
Like, it's serious.
Yeah.
Just keep reminding yourself it's not. They're trolling you. They're fucking trolling the shit out of you.
Yeah, I mean, I think they wanted to make the most absurdist...
Yeah, it's real absurd.
...take on the Frankenstein legend that they could possibly do. Yeah. And just make it as degenerate as possible, like what they could get away with.
And they're putting on a show. They're putting on a real good show. It's just, just think of it like this, people putting on a show. That's what it is. They're putting on
I mean, as I said, it's not going to be for everybody because you have to have, I guess, like a particular sense of humor.
Yeah.
But I mean, like honestly, I think this movie is hilarious.
Yeah, it is.
And you also thought it was hilarious. Yeah. I mean, it's just really, really funny.
At first, I'm watching this going, man, what the fuck? This really fucking sucks. And then I realized they were trolling me, and then I started liking it. Okay. I got it. I was 15, 20 minutes into it. I was, oh, they're trolling me.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
They knew what trolling was back then.
Yeah, they didn't have
a word for it. In the 1970s.
They didn't really have a word for it. But
not really, but yeah, they still did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like I said, this was rated X when it first came out. Because I mean, the sex isn't hardcore, it's like softcore.
Softcore porn.
There is like full frontal male nudity, no erections or anything, because I think that's one of the distinctions. Yeah. Lots of female nudity, but shit, they did that.
Yeah,
in every movie. Yeah, you don't really see that. Yeah. But yeah, a lot of the implications are kind of fucked up.
Yeah, you stand there and a girl, his head just goes down, so you know he's fucking giving her head, and the same kind of thing is happening. She's giving the other dude head. They don't show it, you just show her head going down, he's standing there. And the dude looking bored, like, I'm not in this movie. She's blowing me, but I'm not in this movie. That dude looked like he's getting ready to fall asleep.
They did
that shit on purpose. They were doing it on purpose. They were like, look, just
stand there and look
just
pretty.
Stand there, yeah. And he just...
That's kind of your thing, Joe Dahlzeiter. Yeah, yeah. Just stand there and look pretty. But yeah, that's... And this was actually on the list, the infamous British list in the 1980s of video nasties. So... I think it was originally released. I think it had a minute cut out, but
yeah, I don't think the British would get this back in the day.
But it was released uncut a few years back, 2006 or something like that. Yeah. But it is, like I said, it is very gory. You know, they do show like a, you know, beheading and lots of disembowelings. Yeah. You know, just guts coming at you, and you know, it looks fake. Obviously, this was a fairly low budget movie, and it was the early 1970s. Yeah, so it's not like I kind of feel like it's just like a step above like H.G. Lewis. You know what I mean? Where it's like Blood Feast or something, where they did use, I think they did use like real like sheep lungs and shit like that, like in various parts. But yeah, originally this was 3D. Which, like I said, if you watch it knowing that, then some of the shots make a lot more sense. Like, part of, you know, Udo Kier's, like, death scene with this big pole, like, coming out of his midsection that has, like, a spleen or something hanging off the end of it, and it's kind of, like, right in the camera. And then there's one scene where Otto kills the housekeeper, and she kind of falls over, like, a grate, and then, like, the camera's underneath, and, like, all her guts kind of fall out, like, toward the camera. So there's a lot of, like, shots like that where... You know, you can tell that it was originally presented in 3D.
Yeah. Now, this is an Italian flick. All right. It's not a giallo, though. It's an Italian flick pretending to be a German flick.
Pretending to be a Hammer movie.
Pretending to be a Hammer movie. And it successfully does that. It's got a fucking real strong German, weird fucking German trashy feel to it.
It is very skeezy, but that's what I really like about it. I love like these kind of like Eurotrash movies. They're so fun.
It's all intentional.
They're so fun and they're like so smutty.
Yeah.
And because you were saying last night, she's like, leave it to the Europeans to like make something that's trashy and classy at the same time.
Yeah, it's trying to be classy as shit.
That's what I like about them. It's like we're doing like these like arty art films. Like we have all this classical like score and everything like that. And then like, you know, there's sister fucking and necrophilia and shit like that.
They're dressed nice and they're in fucking palaces and shit. And all this fucking upper crust, upper class fucking kind of look and feel to them. But then they're just saying fucking really perverted shit. And you're just like, Kind of like reminded me of those fucking early 80s and late 70s fucking BDSM comic books.
Yeah.
Remember like Little Witches and shit like that?
Yeah.
Like, or I think it was called Three Witches or Little Witches and had all kinds of weird. It was like that.
Yeah, it is very camp.
Wicked Wanda type bullshit.
Wicked Wanda.
Yeah, Wicked Wanda.
It is very camp, and it's really fun if you're in the right frame of mind. Yeah. You know, real gory, lots of smut. And it's just, I don't know. It's I have a really good time every time I watch it. It's just so silly and over the top. Udo Kier is wonderful. I love him in everything. And that's kind of like, I kind of feel like this was, you know, the start of his horror genre journey, because he was just so crazy and memorable in this that everybody's like, yeah, let's get that guy.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what you hire him for. You hire him to, like, just go all the way over the top.
I gotta say, I liked him better than Klaus Kinski.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because, I mean...
Klaus can do some fucking weird-ass shit, but he's along that lines.
Klaus Kinski, you could tell that he, like, not was legit crazy.
Yeah, he's insane.
Whereas Udo Kier never struck me as, like, he just strikes me as, like, just kind of a fun dude.
He can pull it off.
Klaus Kinski seems like crazy. A legitimate crazy person.
Crazy. You just
and also really creepy.
Yeah, evidently you just can't work with him.
Yeah, and he's just like just really, really difficult. Yeah. Which, like I said, I don't know a lot about Udo Kier, like his personal life or what anything like that. But he doesn't come across, as creepy or weird. I mean, he is a little bit weird, but he doesn't come across the same way that Klaus Kinski actually kind of gives me the creeps.
Pervert.
Yeah, but like, you know what I mean? But Udo Kier doesn't. I always thought he was like delightful. Because he was, he was in Suspiria too. He was in like shit tons of stuff. But yeah, so if you want to see the 3D one, then you can go and buy the two disc set, which has like the theatrical cut. It's been all restored. It looks really, really nice. And they also have the 3D when it comes with the glasses and everything. It's the old school 3D with the red and the blue. And from some people that reviewed that, they said, oh, the 3D looked really cool. And actually they recommended that you should probably watch it in 3D, because that's how it was, you know, originally intended to be presented. And, they said, you know, it's really fun with all the guts, like being thrust in your face and everything like that. And also, you know, you get to see Joe DeLisandro's butt in 3D. So that's nice. But if you don't want to buy it, then you can watch it on Shudder at the moment. Shudder just added this and Blood for Dracula, which is...
I'm gonna see that one too.
Yeah, which is also Paul Morrissey. Obviously, they shot it just right after this one, and it has pretty much the same cast and crew.
Okay, well,
playing pretty much the same characters. I don't think it's quite as smutty or gory, but some people like it better.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But I haven't seen it for a really long time, so
I recommend this one. I think it's required viewing. This is something that you should
watch. Mean, if you're into cult films, you kind of need to see this.
Yeah.
How you feel about it, like I said, that's going to be up to you.
It's
but
all good fun.
It's a really fun, perverse,
just
crazy-ass fucking movie. And
the perversion is mental.
Yeah.
It doesn't really show a lot. It's just the shit that they say.
Yeah, pretty much. So it's a lot of fun. Go to Shudder, watch it, tell us what you thought about it in the comments, and that will do it for this movie retrospective. We will see you guys on the next one. Bye.